to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Autzen Stadium is a difficult place to play. The fans are wild and crazy.
Yeah, they feel like they're involved in it and they can impact the game. They're loud, first, second, third down, name it. So I think starting with us offensively is handling the crowd noise, our communication, our operation to get into a rhythm is going to be critically important early in the game because it will be loud. We've been working with some crowd noise and things, so that'll be a factor. They defensively up front, they can make it physical. They got a big rotation of guys go through there. And so, being able to match up and put them on their heels a little bit schematically and with some physicality, that'll be important throughout. Flip it on the other side. Again, we talked about the quarterback. He's overly accurate, but they do have some really good athletes in space that we can't just leave it on one guy to tackle. We got to rally to the ball, kind of like we planned to do last week, and we did a lot of the time. And so that'll be some similarities there. And so, again, road game, quick turnaround. We need to reload and ready to play with some energy on all three phases.
Jonathan Smith coming back to Autzen Stadium. He will be there tonight, 6 o'clock, as Michigan State plays Oregon. Graham Couch is the columnist, sports columnist at the Lansing State Journal. He also has a podcast that you can find online. He's a great follow on Twitter. Graham, thanks for making time. Is this one feel any different to you, or is this just the state of Oregon being a little riled up, I think, with Jonathan coming back?
Yeah, it's interesting. He's downplayed that, but and I think from most MSU fans' perspective and players' perspective, it's not anything other than a trip out west. They played at Washington a couple years ago. The program's played Oregon, a couple times in the last 10 years. But I'm sure for the coaching staff that came over with him, especially him, that's his alma mater at Oregon State, and for some of the players that did, that there's a little something more to it. And I think for MSU fans, I've tried to describe to them, they know how they feel about Michigan and that in-state rivalry, and those feelings are ingrained, and they don't just leave you because you leave a place. And so I'm sure for Jonathan Smith and a few of the players, there's a little more juice to this.
I know that, and I covered the Big Ten, so I know that, your readers are focused on hockey. Your readers are focused on basketball, and Tom Izzo. But what is the feeling about Jonathan Smith's early start? 3-2 record, got a nice win early, but the sentiment among fans with Smith so far?
Yeah, I think there's, people see competence, which is what they really wanted. So I think most people are optimistic. There was a faction of the fan base early on that was hoping, they'd chase after somebody like an Urban Meyer and there's some donor, momentum towards something like that. But really, I think this is, given what they just went through and sort of the misery of last year and a lot of the hype and swagger of the Mel Tucker era, so to speak, this is what, this is something that I think has been welcomed. And I think the early returns, especially, defensively with Joe Rossi, who they brought over from Minnesota, and I just think there's a lot of competence and hope that this thing is sort of a repeat of the D'Antonio era.
We are talking with Graham Couch, who is the sports columnist at the Lansing State Journal. Aiden Childs, I think a lot of fans in the state of Oregon were really excited to see what he could blossom into, what he could be. How well is he playing right now?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag because he's obviously a playmaker, and he is the reason that they offensively have a chance to be in a game like this in a lot of ways. Now, they've got some other guys, but, if they had a statue back there at quarterback or somebody who didn't have the physical tools or the knack for making plays that he did, this offense where it is right now would really have no shot. And so the flip side of that, he's got 8 interceptions, and some of them have been passes he's just missed or didn't have his feet set or got a little ahead of himself. And so he can take you out of a game as much as he can keep you in it. And so there's, but I think there's also an understanding that he just turned 19 a few weeks ago. He's had 5 starts under his belt in his career, and, it takes some time. So overall, people are real high on him. They're a little concerned. They want to make sure the interception thing, the turnover thing, isn't just part of who he is to this degree. you know, forever. But overall, I think people are thrilled to have somebody of his ability.
I am eager to see how this matchup goes, in particular because we all are looking at Ohio State coming to Autzen Stadium in a week and trying to get some kind of comparison. 38-3 last year, late in the year, with Ohio State. 38-7 last weekend. How did Ohio State look to you? And I'm really curious to see maybe if Oregon can play a similarly dominant game. But 38-7, we see the score. How did that game unfold?
Yeah, it wasn't anywhere near the same game, and so that's what's different. And I mean, Michigan State's first four drives were they moved the ball surprisingly well against Ohio State, and Ohio State made some adjustments at halftime, and MSU kind of ran out of steam. And there was one face mask call that really went against them. They had a couple turnovers in the red zone. The face mask was on a fumble that should have been negated when they were in the red zone, and so there were a couple things that, you know, could have turned the tide a little bit. Would not have made a difference in the final score, but having watched that Ohio State matchup, you know, Michigan State used to be very competitive in it, right? They won it several times in the mid-2010s. They were competitive late into the second quarter, as late as 2019, but the entire Mel Tucker era had been really just one-sided, lopsided, just getting demolished, and this was much more competitive. The final score doesn't really dictate it. So, you know, if tonight's game is something like 33-16 or something as a final for Oregon, I wouldn't be thinking, uh-oh, Ohio State's just at another level. Michigan State, if they were to play Ohio State again, that would be more indicative of the final score based on how competitive that game was for a while.
What Duck fans tonight are, you know, obviously thinking about Aiden Childs, but what else did Michigan State, when things are going right for them offensively, what else are they doing? You know, what things will you be looking for early in the game as signs that Jonathan Smith and his team have something cooking?
Well, they're healthy again at receiver, which is a big deal. And they went to Maryland and won. Nick Marsh, who's their 17-year-old freshman star receiver, he, you know, had a 57-yard catch and a 76-yard touchdown, both in the fourth quarter. And then he was out for the Boston College game. They were missing another starter there, and you could just see that Childs wasn't quite in rhythm with the guys he had. And, you know, they lost that game close on the road. And last week, Marsh was back, but really only played in one series, had a 25-yard catch. But he's supposed to be full go. And so that'll make an impact. That's a guy with size and speed who's a potential difference maker. And it makes the other receivers around him seem more formidable. And so I think what I'll be looking to see is, are they a bit more explosive again? And, you know, one of the things that they've done really well is both move the sticks and be explosive at times in the last few weeks. And it's very much a growing offense. Like, I want to see if they don't take a step back. If they're, you know, you go back to the opener this year, they just didn't look very good. They looked discombobulated. Childs didn't look like he was ready. They struggled against Florida Atlantic. The next week at Maryland, some things clicked. And, you know, after what happened against Ohio State, there really is no excuse not to be able to move the ball against anybody. And can they finish in the red zone? That's been a struggle for them. Can they not turn the ball over? And, you know, I think they have enough talent defensively and enough ability to stay in games. You know, if they can offensively take advantage of opportunities to score and then not turn it over.
We're talking to Graham Couch, who is the sports columnist at the Lansing State Journal. Give me an idea. Detroit Lions, Detroit Tigers, hockey at Michigan State, Michigan State basketball. Where's Michigan State football on sort of the hierarchy of priorities with fans in the region?
Well, with Michigan State, it's number one. It's a football school first and foremost, even if just barely, and then it's a basketball school. But it's probably the most balanced, one of the more balanced programs in terms of fan interest that you'll see, and with basketball, football, hockey being third there. But, you know, and hockey is, you know, back up after a while being really down, and that used to be the toughest ticket in town, but that's partly because it's a smaller arena. In terms of the state overall, though, it's the hierarchy is really Lions 1, Tigers 2, Michigan football 2, I'd say, Tigers 3, and then Michigan State, basketball, football, Pistons, Red Wings, and Michigan basketball will be last. The thing about Michigan basketball people don't realize is it's a much bigger national brand than it is locally. Like when you look at like page view metrics in state, Michigan basketball is always last among the sort of the eight major sports if you factor in Lions, Tigers, Pistons, Red Wings, and basketball, football at Michigan and Michigan State. So, but Michigan State basketball are pretty close in terms of where people's interests are and what sort of stirs the drink, so to speak. And a lot of that with football has to do with, I mean, they weren't a great basketball school before Izzo. They were an okay basketball school. And then the fact that Michigan football is such a priority and so much the self-esteem of that school, which is the rival, and Michigan State fans feel a certain way about Michigan, probably similar to what Oregon State feels about Oregon.
What's a good season for Jonathan Smith? And, you know, granted, nice win early on that I think people didn't expect, but, you know, I'm looking at this game and I go, gosh, if this goes 38-7 or something like that, and, you know, you kind of get a picture where Michigan State is in the conference in the last 2 weeks, but what's a good season? What's a good season one for Smith?
It's a good question. I think the record is less important than the hope that you come out of it with, because I think people want competence, which they're seeing, and they want to leave the season with a few moments to go, this is really hopeful. Like a year from now, they should be, you know, much more competitive, potentially contending if the portal goes right, things like that. I mean, it's when you look at their schedule, like you can have a vision of it before the year and go, oh, is this a 6-win team? But then the teams they're playing change. Like, you can make an argument that Michigan is as easy an opponent as they'll have through until they play Purdue, like the week before Thanksgiving, because of the way Indiana's looked really good and Illinois has been solid. And Michigan, you know, is obviously struggled at the quarterback position. So, like, things like that change all of a sudden, and yet it gets tougher after that. You know, I still think, you know, getting the 6 wins, getting to a bowl game, you know, tasting that sort of postseason would be probably something people want. The flip side of that is I'm of the belief now with the transfer portal timing and the timing of recruiting and everything that secondary bowl games are just one more thing to deal with in the chaos of December. And I'm not sure it actually helps a program that's growing to go play in some third-tier bowl game in late December when you're trying to do everything else. So, you know, I think it's more important that they have moments that give people hope that they beat Iowa or Michigan this month so it doesn't get to a 5-game losing streak, and that people feel good about Chiles and where things are coming out of it.
Obviously a big 23.5-point underdog tonight at Autzen Stadium, but, you know, what would a big win like this or a game like this or even a strong performance in a close game do to Jonathan Smith's program?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the last time this year they have a chance to make a statement that a lot of people will see and respect. Like, you know, if they pull an upset at Oregon, people go. Or even if they don't, even if it's close, the idea that, you know, it's a national TV game, a lot of eyeballs, Fox, Friday night, you know, primetime game. And, you know, it would be one of those moments that gives people hope that sort of makes people around the country, around the Big Ten, take notice that something good is happening there. And to what degree that makes a difference eventually in recruiting in the portal and other things, I don't know. But I think there is a benefit to it because I think in terms of exposure, obviously the Michigan game in a few weeks will be big. But I don't think nationally by then people will be looking at Michigan the way maybe they are right now for this particular season. So I think this might be the last opportunity with a lot of eyeballs on them. At least from a national perspective, for people to catch some eyes.
Help us out with the act of Michigan, you know, because now Oregon's a Big Ten school. I think it's the first time that Oregon isn't used to being the school that directs some of the decisions that are going on in the conference. And what I mean by that is you've got Ward Manuel, the AD at Michigan, saying, hey, we're not going to be playing a Friday night game. And guess what? We're only going to be playing a couple of Saturday nights during the season. Those other schools will play those Friday nights and those Saturdays. Oregon's got two of them. Washington's got two of them. UCLA's got two of them. You know, help us with the act of Michigan. Is this just kind of what Michigan does and Michigan gets what Michigan wants?
It's why other fan bases don't like them. There is a perception that they are bullies of sorts, a little smug here and there. I don't know that they will. I don't know that the power will be there to that degree always for them. Now, they are a big eyeball draw. That's the reason Fox is out there at a big noon every, you know, Saturday, and Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson practically live in Ann Arbor during the football season. I mean, that's just, it's a matter of eyeballs, and they've been really good of late. What'll be interesting is, you know, coinciding with Michigan's rise has been this Fox TV deal, and Fox created this big noon thing, right, which is really, it's like, you know, having the lead for Springsteen being, you know, the main course. It's like having the JV football. Like, noon should never be bigger than 3:30. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. But Fox did it because they couldn't figure out how to do their postseason baseball schedule and all sorts of stuff. It is what it is. And that's going to be there for the time being. But if Michigan slips a little bit, or other programs are in that prime spot, like, it'll be interesting for the West Coast schools as part of the Big Ten's TV package, with Fox having such a say in things, how much noon Eastern time comes into play for them, as when they're you know, a school like Oregon, which is a school with a good brand, and you know, in some ways I feel like the primetime night games, as many as they can get, is best for the West Coast schools, even if it's on a Friday night, just for the sake of start times and other things like that. But yeah, with Michigan, you know, right now they're up, and so it feels like they have a lot of say. But you know, I don't, and they're a big brand, and there's a big following, so they'll always have that with TV folks. But I don't know how much teeth Ward Manuel actually has conference wide relative to some others.
Graham, I appreciate you, man. Good luck with you, and enjoy the game.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, there's Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal. Ducks, Michigan State tonight, Autzen Stadium, 6 o'clock. Our big splash coming up, plus a battle in the NFL locker rooms. We'll talk about it. Leave it here.